Welcome to the Invisible India podcast. I'm Jessica.
And I'm Abhishek. We are a cross-cultural couple doing life in India, exploring the lesser-known mysteries of Indian culture,
interviewing fascinating figures who have chartered new territories, and sharing life as we raise our multicultural family amongst the complexities of modern Indian life. Hey everyone, before we hit the episode, I wanted to tell you about Language Curry and how much I love what they're doing with helping people to learn South Asian languages. They're an Indian-owned company, and right now they're offering live classes in Hindi, Tamil, and Sanskrit. Right now, April, May, 2021. They're offering special discounts for listeners of the Invisible India podcast, and they also have Punjabi, Kannada, Gujarati, and Marathi. You can find the discount codes on our website, invisibleindiapodcast.com/offers. Namaste sab log, main Jessica hoon, aur aaj Invisible India ke podcast ke episode mein, I'm going to tell you guys about the top five craziest raw experiences that have happened to me in my 15 years in India. It is our 50th episode. Yes! And of course, you can also find this recording on YouTube. So if you want to see my face and see pictures along with this episode, things that I'm talking about, the raw experiences, go over to YouTube. Before I get into that, I wanted to share a little bit about Patreon and a way that you can support our show this year. Patreon is a community where you can support artists and creators, pledging a certain amount a month. So if you consume our content, you can go on to patreon.com/invisibleindia. I'll put the link in the show notes in the comment section. Please consider giving to the show if you enjoy our content and benefit and learn something. We would really appreciate you contributing to our show. You can sign up for as little as, I believe, $3 a month, and you do get perks whenever you sign up. You get specialized content and special information and insights into the show. Let's get on with the five top raw crazy things that have happened to me in India. The first two are dumb experiences that were my fault because I didn't know the language, the culture, just rookie mistakes. One, natural disaster. One, religious experience. And of course, everyone has to have a good wild animal story. So let's get into it. Number one, let me tell you about the time I got kicked out of my apartment. I was new in the city. I had just gotten an internship and I had moved into this apartment where it was another foreign woman and I. I think she was from Romania. And we had moved into this apartment to both have an internship with this IT company. This was in northern India in a smaller town. We moved into this place, got it all set up. It was the first night we were gonna sleep there and we had a little housewarming get together with some of our colleagues. And naive me, you know, we had them everyone over, and it was basically this apartment was the top floor of someone's house, like kisi ka ghar tha. It was actually someone's proper house. This auntie and this uncle were very strict vegetarian. Their house always smelled like ghee. They were very old school, very religious. And so having a foreign woman living in their house, I think was already a bit of a stretch, but I'm sure they were appreciative to have, you know, a renter. And so basically I had to walk through part of their house to get to my place. And they could see everyone that was coming or going. And I thought this would be good. This is a security thing. This is safe. This is secure. I'm not going to have any problems. Well, I basically went up to my house on this first night, had the party, and then one of my colleagues, who is also a foreigner, was late. So he came by himself. And so it looked as if here this woman is having random men over that are by themselves. I had a whole bunch of other people over there. There was a party going on. There were couples, there were families, there were kids, there were other women, and then just one guy came by himself. So I think these people thought this is a catastrophe. So they called me over with my boss, who had kind of helped to facilitate the rental. And we're like, she's a terrible person. She's a bad girl. She's this, she's that. I'm like, Minikyakia. Of course, I didn't know Hindi at the time. I was very fresh. And basically, my boss kind of advocated for me. He's like, you know, she's really a nice girl, like whatever. They're like, no, she's bad. They wouldn't tell what I did. But that's the only thing I could figure out was that my colleague had come over by himself late to the party. There were other people there, and they were just like, nee, larki say nee. So I got kicked out of that apartment that next day. I lived there for like one day, and they're like, name's Guadal Garcia. So my lesson in that was people are always watching. Number two, of course, everyone has to have a good cow poop story. So my initial cow poop story, of course, this is again, not knowing the culture, not knowing the language, not knowing the surrounding circumstances. So here I was walking with some friends on the main road. This is again in North India in my first couple years during my internship in Haridwar. So I was walking down the road with a group of friends, guys and girls both. And there was something, the guys had gone one way back to their house, and the girls, myself and I, now my roommate and I had moved, you know, again to a new apartment. So we were walking down the street, and the guys had crossed to go home, and we were on this side. And I had forgotten to tell the guys something. I couldn't remember what it was at this time, but I like yelled across the street, which, you know, you're not supposed to do. Like a woman like yelling anywhere is inappropriate, right? So I was like yelling like, hey guys, like whatever it was. And then it was kind of important, whatever it was. And so then I started to like run to catch up to them. I was gonna like run to catch up to them so they could hear me. Here I am in my like salwar kameez running. And you're never supposed to run, first of all. And it's culturally inappropriate. You can't really run in a salwar kameez. And then thirdly, it's just not that safe. So here I go running down the street. I didn't make it more than 10 steps. I trip on a brick or something, some kind of cement in the road, launch Superman style, literally in the air into a huge pile of cow diarrhea, like green, all over my shirt. I'm covered. It's just disgusting. So there I go. My pride is bruised. I have now caught the attention of everybody. The guys, my friends had seen me literally launch in the air. They start laughing, and then they see that I'm actually like very shaken up. And then wind had been totally knocked out of me. It was very embarrassing. So number two, there are reasons that people walk and not run. And, you know, the best thing to do is just call them and, you know, whatever. Most of us didn't have smartphones, so we couldn't text back then. But that was my learning. Number three, natural disaster. I have told this story before, but I'll share it again. Recently, a couple of years ago, here where we are now in Bihar, this was 2019. So Bihar is known for a lot of flooding, and it's not because we get more rain than anywhere else. It's because our systems are not as developed as they should be. There are corruption matters when it comes to the municipalities, and there are some issues when it comes to the agricultural practices in northern Bihar. So there are actually the rains come down from Nepal, and there are ways to stop these rains from like leaking down from the mountains into Bihar. But everyone knows that it happens, but the politicians don't do anything about it. So like everything else, you know, people blame the politicians here. But this is one of those circumstances, as far as I understand, it's a preventable problem. So we had really bad rain, 24 hours, raining. Wouldn't stop. So basically, I'm by myself with our two children in our apartment. We live in a whole apartment complex, and the rain's just coming and coming. Abhishek was actually in Bali for a conference, lucky him. So it's raining and raining and raining, and it's just not stopping. So I was supposed to go for something that day, and I had to call and say, I'm not gonna make it. It's raining really bad. I don't think I can even get my car out. Little did I know how worse it was gonna get. Over the next 24 hours, it just didn't stop, and nothing was draining. The Ganges was completely overflown, and the town where we live, and it was like totally over, completely just, some parts of the city were waist high with water. And this was became very dangerous because electricity was out. You couldn't get food. You couldn't leave your home. So I was inside the complex with my kids for, I think, 2 or 3 days before Abhishek got back. His flight fortunately landed in the part of the city where the airport is, didn't get as flooded. So he comes in. He had to, thankfully, a friend of ours came to pick him up, but they could not get inside our colony because the water was so bad. Abhishek hired a cycle rickshaw to pull him. Again, this guy was like waist deep up to here in water. I will share pictures of it with this episode. He was waist deep, like having this guy pull him because you couldn't have any motorized vehicle come through at all. He like got back into our colony and there was just, it was terrifying. So I had told him before he came, I'm not in a great mental place, just to let you know. So he came back. Fortunately, we were able to get some food. We had to go walking in the sewage water. So slowly as it got worse and worse and worse over the last few days, we started seeing like dead animals floating in the water. We had heard reports of people being electrocuted. Just these things start to happen when you have sitting water for so long. It was pretty scary at different points. We had run pretty low on food, and Abhishek eventually had to break down and go out and wade through the water to go get food and whatnot. So it took about 2 weeks for the water to fully go down, but we were able to get out before that. But we were trapped in our house for about, 6 days, and it was pretty scary. You can't get out, you can't go anywhere, and it was just this feeling of being trapped. So that was also a very raw experience for me, and I never experienced anything quite to that level where it was, literally a life or death thing for some people, and people did die from that experience. Again, we're very fortunate, we're very privileged that we had extra stocks of food. I was able to make it to a neighbor's apartment and use her electricity because she had like a generator that was working. Ours was totally out. I had resources where I could basically have backup plans. My work didn't get super, super, super screwed up, and I didn't lose my job, things of that sort. The learning there was always be prepared for a disaster and have an evacuation plan. And our big mistake was we didn't have a solid evacuation plan, and I was already running on pretty empty because I'd been by myself with our children for about 12 days while Abhishek was gone. So it was kind of the perfect storm, which tends to happen to us sometimes. But one of my learnings was don't ever let it get that bad where you're basically in a desperate situation, where I really couldn't have evacuated because I was so exhausted and didn't have the resources I need. Even though Abhishek wasn't there, I couldn't have done it by myself. So I just had to sit there and wait for him to come back in the middle of a disaster. Number four. Okay. A religious experience that I had was back in 2006 when I had gone to Calcutta for the first time. Calcutta was the first large city that I went to in India. And of course, it's very overwhelming. Just your senses are like ignited, and it's just such an incredible city. The rawness of Calcutta is something that people have talked about for centuries, really. For me, it was no different. Of course, we went to all these different places, which are like these iconic places of Kolkata, the different architectures and even Park Street and all of these little dhabas, or they don't call it dhaba there, but these different places in Kolkata to eat and see the different communities is really incredible. We went to Kali Ghat, which is one of the most famous and oldest temples. It is Kali Mandir, which is like an incarnation of Durga. I went on with a group of students. And our guide had told us that this is one of the places where they used to do human sacrifices. Again, I don't know how true that is, but this is what we were told. So I had gone in with this mindset of being a little bit, you can imagine me, I'm like 23 years old. So I didn't know anything. I had like never seen an animal being slaughtered before. So this was gonna be new for me. I don't mean to criticize anyone's religious experience. I'm just sharing my own feelings of shock, raw experience from being a newbie and not understanding the culture and the different religious experiences others were having. So here I am. They said, oh, we're going to, you know, they're going to sacrifice different animals. So this is one of the only temples at the time in India, from what I understand, that was still doing like live sacrifices. Most places don't do this, but this was one that's still doing it. And there are other places in Kolkata and different parts of Odisha, and many of you know a lot about this than I do, so feel free to comment and let me know the other temples that do this if you want to get into a conversation more in depth. Kali Ghat, they were going to be sacrificing a buffalo. We had gone, this group of students, and none of us knew what to expect, but there's this little girl standing there with literally a lollipop, and she's like licking the lollipop. Pandaji start chanting and they're getting ready to do the sacrifice, and there's this little girl just like sucking the lollipop, and so they take the big, huge, it's not a machete, but it's a thing they use in the temple to specifically cut the animal, and take this buffalo, this is a huge animal, and they like slice the head off, and it just, you can imagine. And this little girl is just sitting there, just like licking a lollipop, as if this, she does this all the time. So I realize like, I'm missing something here. This is a somewhat normal experience for other people. And I know there would be many Indians, Hindus even, that would be very disturbed by watching that. But in this case, these people were regular bhaktas at this temple. And so they were totally familiar with this. But for me, it was like a very shocking experience to see that. Again, not criticizing anyone's religious experience or saying that there's anything wrong with doing this. But I just was like very shocked by that experience personally at that time. I think it would be different now that I've been in India for a long time and I see dead animals all the time now, so it's no big deal. Experience number 5. All right. Raw experience number 5 again has to do with an animal. I am terrified of spiders. I don't mind snakes. I don't mind large animals. I don't mind dogs. I don't mind anything, really. I'm not scared of a lot of things. Spiders, I have a problem with. In Mussoorie, which is up in the northern parts of Uttarakhand, or in the foothills of the Himalayas, it was back in 2017. So I was pregnant with our daughter. I was going to do a language course, and Abhishek had some things he was going to take care of while he was there. Gone in the summer, it was supposed to be a nice retreat. We went to stay up in Landaur, which is beautiful. It's so pristine, gorgeous place. I know many of you have been there and heard about it. We had stayed in this home, which was an adorable cabin. Some of our friends told us about it. It's so quiet. It's so beautiful. They were totally right. The thing they didn't tell us is that the spiders... I knew about the spiders of Landaur before because I had been there back in 2007 and I had seen the spiders, but I thought, okay, maybe this place will be better or maybe it won't be so intense. Oh, how wrong was I? Apparently, the monsoon had kind of started early in the summer, so here we had these spiders were literally coming out of the walls. And the friends of ours who had stayed there before, they said, oh, we saw like one or two the whole month we were there. I saw one or two in the first hour. I saw every day, every time we came back, there was one. And these are not little, these are quite large. Like they're definitely about the size of my palm and like hairy. And you can see the eyes, like those kind. And the locals just thought I was literally like the biggest idiot ever because I was so scared and I could not sleep with these spiders in my room. There's like, every time I would like move a towel, I would like shake out the towel and so they're like, I'm flying out of there. Like, oh my God, like I just couldn't. And I was pregnant. I just could not handle it. I was trying to deal with it, I ended up borrowing a machardani, a mosquito net from a friend that we had up there. And like, I literally cannot sleep with these spiders like hanging all over the whole walls and everything. So within a week, I think we had seen about 25 to 30 of these large spiders. Every time we came in, they would come out at night and just sit on the wall and like, ugh. I just was complaining to Abhishek, I really can't stay here. This is so hard for me. Finally, the last straw. We knew that there were scorpions in the area. I was a little bit scared that I was gonna see one, but I just kind of was like, no, concerned about the spiders. We had complained to the owner of this place, and we had already made a booking like pretty well in advance, and we thought there's no way she's gonna let us get out of this. We're gonna lose so much money if we move from here, and where else are we gonna stay? I have one more week of classes left. The night before we were gonna go talk to the lady and like beg her to let us leave and give us our refund, I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom because I'm pregnant. I walk into the bathroom and there is a scorpion on the floor of the bathroom. Black scorpion. I just lose it. Like, I take my chappal, you know, my sandal, and I like try to smash and whatever. I did smash it because I had a really thick chappal. And usually I'm not one for killing things, but I couldn't handle it anymore. So I went back to bed. I woke up Abhishek. I was just like, no. The next morning we got up and I told the lady who would own the place. I said, I cannot stay here anymore. I'm so sorry. Could you please refund our money? I told her the whole story. Thank God she refunded our money and let us move somewhere else further down the hill where there were less spiders and scorpions. With all that to say, I hope you enjoyed my 5 stories of raw Indian experiences. I've had a lot more. I'm sure you've had a lot more. These were some that were more fun, some of them which were kind of intense, but from different categories of life. And I hope that you might be able to relate to some of those stories. Again, I'm not criticizing India. I love India. I live in India. I have lived in India for a long time. Most of my other episodes you can listen to and hear about all the wonderful things that I enjoy about this place. But these are some experiences that I have had. Again, some from my own stupid mistakes, things that happened to me because I didn't know, and some things which just happen. Namaste. Thank you for listening. Sunne ke liye bahut bahut dhanyavaad. Please listen up next for our next episodes where I'm going to be interviewing a number of incredible thought leaders and stereotype breakers.
The music for the Invisible India podcast is performed by Christopher Halen Sitar and Ed Henley on tabla on Rag Bhimpalasi.